Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Lucinda Williams made her name singing about heartache and lost love. Now she's found love, and she's singing about that, too, in her latest Grammy-nominated album, Little Honey. This hour on Point, we'll talk with Lucinda Williams about life and her music now. You can join the conversation. Have you been a Lucinda Williams fan from way back? How do you see the path she's followed? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Burbank, California, is Lucinda Williams. She's a three-time Grammy winner. In 2002, Time magazine called her America's Best Songwriter. Her latest album, Little Honey, has been nominated for a 2010 Grammy Award for Best Americana Album. In September, she married Tom Overby, who's now her manager. Married him on stage in front of a crowd of fans in his hometown of Minneapolis. She's a Louisiana girl who's now lived all over. Lucinda Williams, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Americana is what they've settled on calling you. How's that sit with you? Americana.
Well, it's fine. I mean, it's in terms of being nominated for a Grammy, I'm not really, you know, going to be that choosy about it.
However they want to package it, you'll take it.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because every Grammy I've either been nominated for or one has been in a different category.
All the way back to Passionate Kisses was your very first.
Which won Country Song of the Year.
Right.
And then Car Wheels won for Best Contemporary Folk Album. And then I won Best Female Rock Vocals for my song Get Right with God, which isn't a rock song at all. It's more of a blues song.
Right.
And now they've created this new category, Americana, which I'm in. But they've still got the contemporary folk category, which I find interesting. I haven't quite figured that out, you know.
Maybe they finally got a category that's big enough for you, Lucinda. I mean,
yeah,
Americana,
I guess,
covers just about everything, anything, doesn't it?
Well, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, really, it's just sort of a loose, you know, it's a loose definition, you know, as is contemporary folk. I mean, the contemporary folk category I was in before with Steve Earle and Emmy Lou and, you know, and now, you know, I'm in Americana. Elvis Costello's album is in contemporary folk.
Everything.
Nico Case is in contemporary folk. You know, it's just all kind of mixed up.
Everybody it's all over. What does it mean to you at this point in your career to be nominated for a Grammy, to win a Grammy? Is it mainly money? Is it, you know, the respect of your peers? Is it the crowds that turn out? What's a Grammy mean for you now?
Well, it's first and foremost is the respect of my peers and you know, the respect of, yeah, just, you know, people in the industry, my peers, everybody who's seen me, you know, struggling along all these years. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a way of saying, hey, you know, we like what you're doing. And it's important because, you know, from an artistic standpoint for myself, because there's so many other great artists who are also in the running. And, you know, it's the great thing about, you know, the company I'm in, like Bob Dylan and Levon Helm, who are also up for Americana, and Wilco, and Ray Benson with Willie Nelson. I mean, those are all great artists. So we all like each other's music. You know, we're all friends, and we all like each other's music, and there's a real sort of camaraderie, I think, that exists in this category. and the contemporary folk category.
I want to talk.
I mean, it's not really. I don't think we feel like we're not competing really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just more like whoever wins, it's, you know, it's great. I mean, everybody, yay, you know. I think it's just the fact that with the Grammys, it didn't used to be this way as much several years ago where you would have – they used to not have the contemporary folk category at all. And, I mean, it was either just rock or traditional folk, I think. So there was nowhere to place, you know – this kind of music that kind of that, you know, sort of falls in the cracks.
The other the other big headline out of your life lately has was your marriage. After you've had sort of a famously through your songs rough and tumble love life, or at least as expressed in your art. And September 18th at the First Avenue nightclub in Minneapolis, you're straight up married. We've got a little YouTube sound of it. This is not studio quality, but because you're a star and you had 1,500 fans back in the house, here's the ultimate moment: Lucinda Williams and Tom Overby and the vows. September 18th, Minneapolis.
Inasmuch as Lucinda and Tom have declared their love and devotion to each other before this gathering of family and friends.
And there it is, husband and wife, and you went straight on into Rolling Stones and AC/DC. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
That sounds like some ceremony you had there.
Yeah. Well, we were just traveling around so much, and we work together now and travel all the time. And we wanted to find a place we could get married in that was big enough so we could invite everybody, you know. And we were sitting around talking about it, and I said, well, why don't we just get married on stage, you know, as part of the encore, and then we can just, you know, people can come to the show, we can have fans there, friends, family, and
looks like a good time. Looks like a good time.
We were talking to my folks about it after we decided, and my dad's reminded us, he said, well, you know, Hank Williams got married on stage, and that's when we knew we were doing the right thing.
On your album, Little Honey, you've got Tears of Joy. It says, I used to play games with my boyfriends, fashion and fame, hip little trends. Now I have a real man. Real man, don't have to pretend. Let's listen to a little bit from Lucinda Williams, Tears of Joy.
I used to play games with my boyfriends, fashion and fame. Little trends. Now I have a real man. Don't have to pretend. And that's why I'm crying tears of joy. I'll be your woman.
Lucinda Williams, Tears of Joy, from her album Little Honey. You have written and sung so much about rugged love. Was it hard or strange as you're sitting songwriting to go over to, you know, sort of the happier side of that dynamic?
No, because it's still coming from the same place. I mean, there's still a sadness even to this song, don't you feel?
Yes, I hear the years behind it, the other way behind it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain, you know. It's not really, as I've gotten older and the more I've, you know, the more I'm writing and learning more about writing, it just becomes not really so much about, you know, the subject matter as much as the feeling. I mean, because even though you're in a relationship with someone, and you're happy with that person, that doesn't mean that there isn't still a lot of, you know, angst and turmoil bubbling around inside of yourself.
It's not all rainbows all of a sudden.
Yeah, you know, and there's plenty to write about besides unrequited love. Like, you know, political songs and, you know, just which I'd like to explore more. I always wanted to be able to write more songs like a lot of the songs Bob Dylan wrote, you know. just that that explore just, I don't know, people and the mindset of other people and stories about other people and you know, like Hurricane Carter and you know, even some of his early great protest songs, you know, like the times they are changing and songs like that, you know. It's easy to write a sappy love song. I mean, you know, it's easy to write, I mean, about girl meets boy, boy meets girl, boy leaves girl, you know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
That's, you know, those are kind of a dime a dozen. But as I said, it's not really more about, because you can take any subject, even if it's a love, you know, relationship, mm-hmm. and kind of expand it into it's something else.
We're going to come back and look down that political line also, just across the horizon of your great career and the latest album, the latest Grammy nomination for Lucinda Williams for her album, Little Honey. Lucinda Williams, stand by in California. We can't wait to get right back in with you here. Listeners, you can join us. Do you follow Lucinda Williams? Have you listened since Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, since further back than that? Is she your kind of country, your kind of rock? Both. 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, going out with Circles and X's. This is On Point. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with singer-songwriter, country rock star Lucinda Williams. She's nominated for Best Americana Album in the 2010 Grammys. Coming up, her latest album is Little Honey. You hear Well, Well, Well from it behind us right now. She joins us from California. You can join us as well. Is this your kind of country, your kind of rock? Both. Have you heard her latest album, Little Honey? And has she sung your Love Gone Wrong song? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Cindy Williams, we've got a lot of people who want to talk to you already. Let's go straight to Baltimore, if we may. Baltimore, Chris, you're on the air, Chris.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for this opportunity. Cindy, this just makes my day to be able to say hello to you.
Hi.
I had a comment and a question about two different tunes. The first comment I want to make is this song that you wrote about this character in the title is Pineola, and I listened to that song and I just mourn whether that character was real or not. I mourn for him every time I hear this tune.
He was a poet I knew in Arkansas, and it's based on a real story. I changed the name of I changed his name in the song, but he was a. He was, you know, just a young, you know, charming, young, kind of roustabout, you know, very talented poet. And, you know, he took his own life. And I was living there at the time with my folks and went to the funeral with my dad and some of the other writers. And they were all his mentors, you know. And he was a real promising. They really thought, you know, he was going to go somewhere. And so it was very tragic. But I went to the funeral, and it's really pretty much the way I described it in the song. And his name was Frank Stanford. Mm. You can actually find, and he's got a couple of books out, I think.
Chris,
this was back in the 70s, mm-hmm. a long time ago, about
Chris,
30 years ago.
What do you hear, Chris, when you hear Lucinda Williams perform?
Debate with a friend of mine who wants to know, and I want to know, who are you singing about in real life, Bleeding Fingers?
Well, it was actually inspired by the work of Paul Westerberg and his solo albums. I'd been listening to his stuff and just really, really got into his work. I hadn't really listened to The Replacements, you know, on a regular basis, but his solo songs, you know, really got to me, and I knew a little bit about his life and all, and so that's what inspired the song. But a lot of times something, you know, one person will kind of provide the seed for a song, but then it can end up being about other people too. Like sometimes when I'm singing, I'm thinking of people like Stevie Ray Vaughan and, you know, other great guitar players like that who kind of self-destructed, you know. And so it becomes bigger. A lot of my songs start as little seeds and grow from there.
Chris, thanks very much for your call in Baltimore. Listen, let me get another here, if I may, from Lou in Charleston, South Carolina. Lou, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a huge fan of Lucinda Williams and have been listening to her since the late 80s. And I think I was really excited when everybody else found out about her with Car Wheels. Just a spectacular album. One thing I just wanted to ask Lucinda is, I've seen you in concert several times. I saw you at the 930 Club in D.C. right after Car Wheels came out, and I've seen you a couple times down here in Charleston. And I'm just wondering, like, how maybe, I don't know, with your changing happiness, how is your relationship with, like, with alcohol changing? Like, and because I have seen you where it was hard to watch you because you were, you know, hitting it a little hard.
There's a straight-up question for you, Lucinda. You've talked about this. You've changed. You've actually changed your
way. I don't drink. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't drink on stage anymore, you know. So that's a basic answer.
Why?
You know, I don't drink before I go on or during the show. Well, because my drink of choice was Grand Marnier, because it would coat my throat, you know. It sort of acts as a demulcent of sorts, kind of like a cough syrup or something,
right?
You know,
but it's pretty potent.
It's very potent, and you lose track of how much you're drinking, and it's, you know, it's too strong to just sip. And then I tried mixing it with water to water it down, and then I went from there to, you know, just nothing, and now I just do tea with honey or water and stuff like that. And at first I thought it would be really difficult, you know, to perform without some kind of libation, you know. But it isn't, you know. You just get used to it. And I find actually that I have a lot more control vocally now and everything, you know. And then after I get, you know, I reward myself with a couple of glasses of wine once I'm done, you know.
What about your, I don't know, your buddies on the road in your set? I mean, there's a lot of people in the business who are not kids anymore. You're 56 now. Do you see others, your friends and fellow performers, who have radically changed their relationship with alcohol, with drugs, and performance?
Well, yeah. I mean, the guys that I'm playing with, you know, a lot of them, I mean, you know, they weren't, these particular guys didn't have a problem, you know, with it before. You know, so they're very moderate drinkers anyway. I mean, but as far as on stage, yeah, I mean, nobody's drinking, you know. My drummer doesn't, he never drinks during the show. He hardly drinks at all anyway. And he'll have an occasional glass of wine, you know. My bass player and one of my guitarist players, they'll start, maybe like during the encore, they might have, you know, a little shot or something like that, you know. But we don't have problems with, I can't remember the last time I worked with anyone who, you know, has, I mean, nobody, we don't do anything like, there's, you know, no drugs, you know, that kind of thing.
The times there are changing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. Well, I guess it's the age group that we're in, you know, but I know there's still, you know, a lot of that going on out there with the younger bands and all.
Sure. But, Lou mentioned Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. Let's listen to just a little bit of that. This was 1998. Wide acclaim. Won a Grammy. Was her first album to go gold. Here's the title song.
Pull the curtains back and look outside. Somebody somewhere don't know. Come on now, child. We're going to go for a ride. Car Wheels on a Gravel Road.
Lucinda Williams, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, 1998. She's nominated for Grammy in announcements that just came out in the last few days. Lucinda Williams, when you sit down to write, do you have a compass that you set on how country or how rock a particular song is going to be? How does it end up being more of one or the other? Or do you even think about it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really think about it. It just has to do with the song. And to tell you the truth, just the mood I'm in on that day, probably, you know, and sometimes that might have to do with what records I've been listening to the week before, or so, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of a, you know, the atmosphere I'm feeling or the mood I'm in or something, you know. It's kind of a little bit of, you know, people ask me, do I write the words first, do I write the lyrics first? It's kind of a little bit of both. I mean, you know, sometimes I get a line in my head and, you know, I'll write it down. I'm always writing ideas down.
Have to catch them. Have to grab them right out of the air.
I grab them and write them down and I stick them in this folder, you know. And then once I sit down with it, all of that, then I kind of just see where it goes, you know, what comes with. And sometimes the lyrics will dictate, you know, kind of what the music's mm-hmm. going to be.
Sure, sure.
And then other times I'll actually think of a hook, like a little piece of a melody with a piece of a lyric, you know. Like when I was writing Joy, it was kind of like that. I was actually driving on a trip on the highway, and I started, you know, it's got that kind of driving mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
You took my joy, I want it back. Mm. You took my joy. You know, that just stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And then it just became the whole song.
We've got a caller with some lyrics for you right here to read back to Jason in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Jason, you're on the air with Lucinda Williams.
Hi, Lucinda.
Hi.
And I love Car Wheels. Every time I listen to it, it's like reading a collection of short stories. They're so clear in my mind when I read them. And I wanted to compliment you and ask you about kind of a turnaround in Too Cool to Be Forgotten, and it's three mm-hmm. words that I think sum up, like, everything about being alive, which is Junebug versus Hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
is there a story behind that? I'd love it.
Well, it's kind of a mystery to me, too, and really the only way to explain it is to probably look at the photographs from the book that a lot of these images came from, which is the book Juke Joint that I mentioned before by Bernie Imes. And it's all just beautiful color photographs of the insides of juke joints down in Mississippi. And there's a photograph of some guys shooting pool and there's some graffiti up on the wall, and it says June Bug versus Hurricane.
I love
you
it.
Know?
Too. That's great.
Zozo. And I put it in the song. I realized after I did it, I thought, well, this isn't going to make a bit of sense. But I just kind of decided to be brave and go with it. I was somehow trying to just string together a lot of images, and I don't know. You know, and then I decided, well, it could just be sort of be interpreted, you know, the listener could interpret it, you know, in different ways. And
I think Jason's got a cosmic interpretation there. And why not? Why not?
Huh? I mean, it can mean different things. You know, I don't know. Was it a boxing match? You know, was it? I don't know.
A little pool stand up. Your father, Miller Williams, is a well-known poet. Read the poem at Bill Clinton's second inauguration. Does all this run in the family, Lucinda? Is it like father, like daughter?
Well, with the two of us, it does. And it probably goes a little bit, it spreads out a little bit more than that, too, because my mother was a music major and a piano player from the time she was about 4 years old. She studied piano and went on to study in college and, didn't pursue it professionally, but that was certainly in the background when I was growing up.
I was just reading of History and Hope. Your dad's, yes, she was very much there as well, but your dad's poem from the inauguration, and it seemed like almost something you could set to music. And it's, we have memorized America, how it was born and who we have been and where, telling the story, singing the old songs. We like the places they take us. Mostly we do. It sounds like it could be a Lucinda Williams tune if you put your mind to it.
I tried to set music to some of his poems, and it's not as easy as you might think.
I'm sure.
You know, and it just goes to further prove the the idea that songs and poems are two different things, which my dad and I used to talk about relentlessly. He was always I remember back in the 60s when the young writers would come around to the house and, Bob Dylan was all the rage. And they kept insisting that, the young poets would say, oh, Bob Dylan's a poet. And my dad would say, no, he's a songwriter. And
what's the difference?
You know.
Did you figure it out? What is the difference between writing song lyrics and writing poetry?
Well, because in songs you have the music to support the lyrics. And in poetry, you don't have the music to support the lyrics, and the rhythm is a lot different, you know.
So the poetry has to stand entirely on its own two feet.
Yeah, the poetry has to stand on its own two feet, yeah. Although I know there have been some poems set to music, but it's very challenging. And my dad's given me lyrics to try to put music to. But that hasn't worked either so far.
Would he like to show up on one of your albums as the lyrics by Miller Williams?
Well, yeah, I'm sure he would. The lyrics that he gives me are more, old school country style lyrics. He loves country music.
Yeah.
Like Hank Williams and Tom T. Hall and, the good stuff.
And, of course, it was his career that took you through much of the American South. I mean, you were in New Orleans and Baton Rouge, Jackson, Georgia.
Yeah, Jackson and Macon, Atlanta, Baton Rouge, New Orleans. Because he was teaching at that time. He was he started out, actually, his degree is in biochemistry. And he started teaching biochemistry. And then, because of his writing, he ended up teaching freshman English, creative writing later on, and eventually he achieved tenure at the University of Arkansas in 1971, and he was the head of the MFA program there, and that's where he still is now.
Took you right along in his wake, yeah.
Up until then, we moved, he'd teach at a college for a year or two and then moved to another one.
All the way right down to Mexico City, where you first performed live. I'll ask you about that, Lucinda. Stand by there. Lucinda Williams is with us, Grammy-nominated again for her album Little Honey. You can join the conversation. What's your question, your word for Lucinda Williams? Is this the sound of Americana to you? We're at 800-423-8255. Here's If Wishes Were Horses from Little Honey. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Come on. Give me another chance. Come on and give me. Come on and give me. Come on and give me another chance. Come on. Gonna see my mother, gonna see my mother up in heaven.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with singer, songwriter, country rock star Lucinda Williams. Her album, Little Honey, has just been nominated for Best Americana Album in the Grammys. Heaven Blues from Little Honey, behind us right here. You can join the conversation. What's your question? Your word for Lucinda Williams? Is this your Americana? Is she your kind of country, your kind of rock? Maybe both. 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Lucinda Williams joins us from Burbank, California. Lucinda, you've been on a kind of a, for you, bright swing lately. You had a dark swing early in this decade after your mother passed away and some harder love times.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes the work easier, hard times or happy times?
Well, excuse me. That's a really hard question to ask because I don't know, because there are always going to be hard times. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
not just one or the other.
That's,
you know,
life. Mm-hmm.
That's life, and I just write about life. So I look at it as, you know, I mean, I sort of have a, I look at it as there's a well, mm-hmm. and I just, I've got all this stuff, you know, all these things in the well from when, you know, as far back as I can remember, you know, 4 years old or something, there's all this stuff in there, and I can just go reach into the well and pull something out, you know, and write about it. So in other words, I don't have to be experiencing it in the moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I've got plenty to draw on, you know, plenty of, you know, difficult experiences and different things like that, you know.
Can you remember when you were just 17? I've read it was your first live performance in Mexico City. Maybe you were thinking about a life in music. What you anticipated,
yeah.
what you imagined that would mean? Can you? How's it compare to what it's actually been?
Well, and at that time I was called Cindy Williams.
I think you made a good change there.
Yeah, I was a friend of ours, a friend of the family's. Clark Jones, he came down to visit us in Mexico City.
Your dad was teaching there?
My dad was teaching there that year.
Mm-hmm.
He had a visiting professorship, and we had a string of friends who took advantage of the fact that we were in Mexico City that year, and we just had people come and visit and everything. But Clark was a traditional folk singer, is a traditional folk singer, somewhat along the lines of Pete Seeger, you know, he's
mm-hmm.
one of the few remaining real traditionalists. He performs in the schools a lot in North Carolina and plays dulcimer, banjo, auto harp, guitar. And we knew him, and we'd known him in New Orleans, and he used to come over and, you know, he taught me a lot of songs and stuff. So when we were in Mexico City, he came down to visit us, and my dad was friends with someone in the State Department there,
mm-hmm.
and they decided to set up a little tour at different colleges and high schools for Clark and me to go around and do little concerts.
Young Cindy Williams.
And, yeah. And we still have posters and everything from then. And, you know, I wasn't writing all that much. I was doing singing Bob Dylan songs and Peter Paul and Mary and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Woody Guthrie and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. But I don't know. I think I probably wanted to be like either, you know, Mary Travers or Joan Baez at that time.
Sure.
You know, this was in 1969.
Right,
so,
right.
You know.
That's who it would be.
Yeah.
Let's get a call from Nashville, Tennessee. Rose, you're on the air with Lucinda Williams.
Hi, Lucinda. This is Rose Palermo in Nashville.
Hi.
Hi. And I just wondered if you had good memories of your times when you lived in Nashville, and I've forgotten how long you actually lived here.
I know. Well, when I first met you, it was in the...
You have to tell it.
Early... Well, I did live in Nashville briefly in the early 70s. It was what... You know, when I first met Rose Palermo, I spent a brief period of time there. But the most recent time was I moved there in 93. And I actually lived there for 9 years before I moved back to L.A. Yeah, I was
for that long. Did Steve Earle do any production for you when you were here?
Yeah, we did. He worked with me on Car Wheels.
Oh, right. Great.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to talk to you, and I'm glad you're doing so well, and I keep up with you, and we all love you here in Nashville.
Thank you.
Wow, that's great. Rose Palermo, thank you very much for calling. And one more right on Steve Earle front from Charleston, South Carolina. Doug, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Lucinda.
Hi.
I started listening to you during the Car Wheels phase there. I picked up the album on, heard it on the internet and fell in love with you. And then I branched out from there and became obsessed with Steve Earle. And I started collecting CDs left and right. And my wife and I just loved both of you. And one day I was listening to the new Steve Earle, or new to me, CD that Steve had put out called I'm All Right. And lo and behold, at the end of the album, there's a collaboration between you and Steve. And I was
yeah.
like, oh my God, it's got to be the greatest song of all time.
It's really cool, isn't it?
It is a great
I love
song.
His writing. Like, he's, yeah.
Every time we go to see you, we just can't wait for Steve to come out on stage during the encore and for you guys to sing a song together. That would just make everything perfect.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, thank you very much. Thank you, Doug. Of course, you've got a collaboration on Little Honey as well. We'll listen to a little bit. This is Lucinda Williams and Elvis Costello with Jailhouse Tears from Little Honey.
They say I broke the law. Now everything's broken down. Babe, I know what I saw. I know you went downtown. The law. That's not what this is about. I just went to the corner.
Lucinda Williams and Elvis Costello in Jailhouse Tears. How'd that collaboration come together, Lucinda?
Well, we had a list of different people we were thinking about, and you know, as is the case when you're doing something like this, it depends on who's available and, you know, their right. schedule and all of that, you know. And we wanted to get someone, you know, who we thought about getting somebody real country, like Jim Lauderdale. You know, his name came up. He's done a lot of work with me in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we were thinking, well, maybe it'd be kind of cool to do something not, you know, the obvious country thing, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And Elvis was on the list, but we weren't sure if he's going to be in town. Well, it turned out he was in town just for one day. And we managed to grab him and get in the studio and, you know, do this. But we were thinking we had everybody from Jim Lauderdale to David Johansen to John Doe to, you know,
long
Steve
list.
Earle and, you know.
And there's Elvis, so grab him.
And Tom Waits, right? He was on the list, you know, we just thought, well, we'll see what we can do, so.
Well, that's a pretty great sound.
It's different.
We got a call right here from Arlington, Massachusetts. Vance Gilbert, old friend, good to hear from you.
Hey, Tom, it's good to hear you. Hi, Lucinda.
Hi.
I don't know if you'd remember my name at all, but...
Great folk singer, Vance Gilbert.
Thanks, Tom. A few years back, another singer-songwriter, a friend of mine, Ellis Paul, and I recorded an album called Side of the Road. And it was an album of cover tunes that was post-9/11, a kind of balm for the times. And your tune was the featured tune, and it was a duet for the both of us. And word came down the pike that you'd liked it, so I appreciate that.
Wow. I guess somebody must have played it for me. Yeah, because I know your name and his name, too.
It's a great track.
I wanted to thank you because so over the years, the few years that I've been listening to you, your music is rounded. I'm an African American singer songwriter, and so I come from a different place. Yet when mm-hmm. as soon as I heard your albums, I realized that you know that stuff that first of all it was stuff that anybody that is doing the singer songwriter thing can latch on to, and second right. of all, it's immensely universal. It's just really it speaks to everybody. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. That's a really high compliment. I really appreciate that because that's how I want my music to be.
High compliment, heard and appreciated. Vance Gilbert, it's great to hear from you. We need to see you in here again sometime soon. Thank you very much for calling, Vance.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Hinesburg, Vermont. Liz, you're on the air with Lucinda Williams.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let Lucinda know that I've seen her a couple times, but she came here to Burlington. It happened to be on September 12, 2001. You know, we were all shell-shocked and not knowing what to do, what to think, and... was an incredible show. Everybody was so, they played their souls out. So I just wanted to thank her.
I remember that. Thank you, too. I remember that it was as you described. We were the day after 9/11, and we were supposed to have played the night before on 9/11. But, of course, we had to cancel that show, and this was the very next night. And we went in, and they had lit candles, and there were candles on the tables, and you know, it was somewhat solemn, but very soul stirring.
Mm. A time that we all remember, and especially to be performing
yeah.
there, that would be something. I want to get another track or two in here, if we may. Here's "It's a Long Way to the Top." This is a cover of an AC/DC song from 1975 on Lucinda Williams' latest album, Little Honey.
I tell you, folks, it's harder than it looks. It's a long way to the top if you wanna rock and roll. It's a long way to the top if you wanna rock and roll. You think it's easy doing one night stands? Try playing in a rock and roll band. It's a long way to the top if you wanna rock and roll.
AC/DC's "It's a Long Way to the Top." And Lucinda, I'm reading here that your new husband encouraged you to bring this track onto the album. How does that work? How big a role does he have in you know, thinking about what you're going to play, what you're going to perform?
Well, this was just, you know, kind of an exception. I mean, it's a group effort, really, between Tom and myself and Eric Lillestrand, our engineer. And the three of us found a real camaraderie when we were working together on West. And so we just moved on and just, of course, with West, we also had Hal Wilner. But this time it was just the three of us, Eric and Tom and myself. And the songs were all in place for the most part. I'd written a couple of new ones. And Tom and I started talking about doing just a real classic rock cover. You know, I'd never done that before on a record. So we started talking about, you know, different ideas for different songs. And he came up with this idea. I was looking at this one by Mountain. Remember Leslie West and Mountain?
Yeah.
There was a song on this one album I was listening to. And, you know, so we were just kind of listening to stuff. And Tom suggested this one. And I wasn't sure because I hadn't ever performed it or worked with it or anything. And I wasn't sure. And we tried it out in the studio. And I kind of grabbed a hold of it. And I said, wow, this is pretty cool. And I think I can wrap my head around it. And then, you know, I think it just provided a good sort of bookend on the record, you know. And it kind of continues with the theme of a couple of the songs I'd written, Little Rock Star and Rarity, you know.
Mm-hmm. little rock star looking at another generation, a younger generation, saying, you know, be careful, watch out, be real. You said at the top that you're thinking more about politics these days, and I wonder where that may take you. I mean, you're pretty bold, whether it's sexually explicit or just sort of fierce. Yeah. I mean, you lay it out there. If you go to politics, what are we going to hear from you?
I don't know. I need to learn as much about politics as I do about sex. And then, you know,
but a lifetime of study.
Yeah. I've always been very, not, you know, political in the sense of, you know, following the every single grain of politics, but I've always been, you know, just aware and very conscientious and, you know, I mean, when I was in high school, I was, you know, an anti-war activist. Of course, that was back in the, you know,
during the Vietnam War.
And, you know, I was very active as much as I could do, you know, for a high school student. I used to hand out, you know, boycott grape leaflets in front of the grocery stores and, you know, went to SDS meetings and that sort of thing. I got kicked out of high school for not saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
A little rebel early on.
And a little rebel. I think it runs in the family. You know, my dad was, you know, like that. Just, it's kind of in our blood. I remember one year we were, it was one of the, I forget which election, but my dad said, you know, vote no for president.
N-O. Lucinda, we're just about out of time here, and I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't want to run over the rest of this beautiful song, "Plan to Marry," off "Little Honey." A little love in the mix, along with "Tough Stuff." We're grateful for your time today, and we wish you luck in the Grammys. It's great just to be nominated. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Lucinda Williams, her latest album is "Little Honey," nominated for a Grammy for Best Americana Album. She joined us from Burbank, California. Lucinda, thank you so much. Here's a "Plan to Marry."
We are the conquerors. We are the soldiers. We are the lovers. That's why we fall in love. That's why we believe in love. And that's why we marry.